Ever tried reading while jogging, cooking, or even juggling flaming torches? Yeah, it doesn't end well. But with audiobooks.com, you can conquer books without the circus act. Dive into over 450,000 titles, including more than 10,000 free ones. Get hooked on a bestseller, find your next obsession, or finally read that classic you've been avoiding since high school. And here's the inside scoop. Sign up today for a free 30-day trial and snag your first three audiobooks on the house. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.
This episode is brought to you by Major Spoilers VIP members.
VIP stands for very important people, and their small monthly contributions ensure that this podcast remains free for all of you.
If you would like to become a bronze, silver, or gold VIP member, go to members.majorspoilers.com for more information.
I sure do thank you for your support. Now, here's your show.
Welcome to Dueling Reviews, a show where two guys sit down with one comic and go into it in detail. I'm Steve Schleicher. Over there is Matthew Peterson, and we are coming to you early this week because we're out recording one of our many other podcasts tonight.
We are doing other shows, but we are here to talk Vampirella.
I think if we can, because I know some of you want to know about some of the brand new books that are out that day, instead of waiting till Thursday or Friday for you to listen to it in your feed, when we can... we will try to always make this show on Wednesday, and so we may record stuff ahead of time so that it comes out, first thing Thursday morning for you instead of late Thursday night or Friday night or something like that, or late Wednesday night, Thursday morning, whenever it happens.
And the rest of the rats will play maracas.
Yes, and so this week we are taking a look at Dynamite Entertainment, and I didn't realize that this was it, but it's Nancy A. Collins writing Vampirella, Volume 2, Number 13. Nancy A. Collins, Patrick Birkencotter. Doing the art.
Birkencotter. Yeah, the Birkencotter. I had the Birkencotter with the side of the French fries.
This is chapter 7 of 7. I didn't realize this, but it's God Save the Queen. And I'll be honest, I hadn't read the previous six installments. So it looks like all of the Universal monsters have come home to roost in the Vampirella comic, including Lon Chaney's
Phantom of the Opera,
the werewolf. Yeah. And Nosferatu all joined forces to...
Count Orlok.
This is a crazy book. But here's the thing. Not having read any of the other seven chapters, this book still made complete sense.
Yes, and that was the amazing part. Because especially when you're thrown into a seven-part saga, you expect to have some catching up to do. This book really didn't have that. You have two pages where we see Lon Chaney and the Wolfman running about. And, of course, the Phantom of the Opera takes one right between the eyes, which is kind of painful. And then an arrow. We immediately transition to Vampirella confronting a ghost in her room. And I really like how they handle the exposition.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there wasn't the traditional info dump. It was handled as a conversation.
Right.
And the character of Vampirella was being told what she didn't know under the guise of telling all of us what's happened in the first seven chapters.
Right.
It worked really well. It was very seamless.
It turns out somehow Vampirella killing Nosferatu became the queen of the Nosferati.
Right. Her half-brother. Count Orlok Nosferatu, because apparently they share a mother, and now she is the queen of the Nosferati. Nosferati?
Well, they say Nosferatu in the book, but that seems really weird.
Well, used to do that in the vampire books. There was a Nosferatu.
As long as Vampirella allows his blood to run through her body, she's going to have him as a ghost companion.
Mm-hmm. And she's going to be the queen of the pointy-eared freaks.
And that doesn't sit too well with all the other Nosferatu running around. And so there's a big plot in this book to get rid of her. And, of course, she takes them all down. And then one of the bad Nosferatu who kidnapped her boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if they're boyfriend, girlfriend, but certainly they're agents of the love same interest. Organization. Yes, love interest. The bad Nosferatu is saying, hey, you got to turn over the kingdom to me if you want your boyfriend to survive. Ha ha ha. I twist my mustache, but Nosferatu don't have mustache
eye.
Yeah,
yeah. I also love the fact that her majordomo, who is human, looks a little bit like Rupert Giles, which, again, looking at the art in this book, there's a lot of references to classic monster films that really work because they're played absolutely straight.
Right.
And, of course, there's a point where one of the Nosferatu gets really, really drunk and challenges her for leadership.
Mm-hmm.
And just slaps her through a wall and manhandles her. And finally, she goes all, oh, you want to fight Vampirella? I will be Vampirella now. And just kicks the snot out of this poor girl. Just a lovely sequence, a lovely action sequence.
And but it does set up the loyalty among the subjects that they will do whatever it takes. Because in the final act, when the tables are turned and they want to kill Vampirella, all the other Nosferatu show up. And there's a big Nosferatu rumble in the Transylvania jungle.
And you know what I did like? They had the classic Vampirella costume,
the
white collar and 3 inches of fabric, but only when she went full on Vampirella fighty fighty, her dress suddenly seemed to disappear.
Yeah, I think
and then
overcoat.
When she was done fighting, she puts her clothes back on.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. It's treated as sort of her combat gear. And it works really well because your big problem with a Vampirella story is, do you change the costume and irritate the people,
or
do you find a way to justify
it? I think the Nancy Collins Vampirella stuff started out with the costume change when she first started on that with the
when she had
previous
the
volume.
The red and black leather outfit with the blouse.
Yeah. And so,
I like that.
But I guess there were a lot of people that were totally not in favor of that. So I'm wondering if they kind of flip back and forth to keep some people happy, or if this is just supposed to be the uniform that the Queen of the Nosferatu is supposed to wear.
Could be. I don't know, but I think that, you know, honestly, I can't justify it out of universe, but in universe, it's traditional. It's, you know, if you treat it kind of like Red Sonja's bikini, where when she goes into battle, she prefers to be unencumbered, and you don't make a big deal out of it, and you don't, you know, really, really oversell the sexiness of it, which is difficult. I think they skirt the line here, and they have her in her costume without having it being incredibly scurrilous.
Oh, yeah, no, it's
it works.
I mean, it's nothing worse than what we haven't seen before, so. but I thought the story, again, coming into this, not reading the previous chapters, in order to follow everything that's going on and have a satisfying conclusion from my reader standpoint, I thought the writing in this was fantastic. I really got a kick out of it. And then, of course, the whole universal, well, I guess they're not universal monsters. I don't know who owns Nosferatu, but Wolfman,
nobody.
Phantom of the Opera. Well, yeah, they're all probably outside of copyright, so we'll do whatever the hell we want.
That's right. In the public domain, baby.
But I really got a kick out of that. The art side, again, I'm always troubled with some of the things that Dynamite does with the heavy inks and the shadows. Mm-hmm. I wasn't convinced that Wolfman was furry. When he's all wolfed out, it looks more like he's wearing just a thick jacket. He doesn't look as hairy as I expected him to look. But, you know, I can
insufficiently fuzzy is what you're saying.
Yeah, that's the problem. He just wasn't fuzzy enough. So
he needs to be fuzzier.
Yeah.
Well, and I think part of that is the ink line that you're using. It doesn't have, like, the heavy definition that you'd expect on the fur.
Mm-hmm.
But I think when they do, you know, the close-ups back and forth, I could definitely see when he's lying face down.
Yeah.
I can see the point where you're like, wow, what is that?
I love the double-page spread, though, where you've got, you know, vampires attacking on both sides. It's just, that's pretty cool. That's a good use of a double-page spread. Where the nephew shows up, he's like, no, you can't kill her. We will stop you. And the bad cult is like, ha, you four aren't going to stop me. He goes, what do you mean? I brought all my friends. And he opens the door to the warehouse, and that's just a sea of vampires.
Sea of Count Orlocks.
And then you kind of do this whole action sequence where they're jumping at each other from both sides of the page, and it just is wonderful. It's bloody and gory, but it's definitely wonderful.
And there's Draculas everywhere. And I think that's why in a straight fight, a Frankenstein will always beat a Dracula.
Mm. I'm wondering, this is just me, but Vampirella originally started out as a black and white comic.
Yes.
I'm with this story. Now, granted, I know that people are not into black and white comics, But with the characters that appear here, Nosferatu and Lon Chaney and Rupert Giles, I think maybe being black and white might have been a better choice to go with this. I don't know. That's just me. I think it would be interesting, especially since we're seeing old costume, old characters that are familiar faces.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just wondering if that would have been a different take on this tale, because it's, I don't know. That's just, I think it would be interesting to see it in black and white.
Even in color, there's a lot of tones to the penciling and a lot of tone to the color. I think that, yeah, it would definitely translate well to black and white. The thing of it is, you know, probably it's one of those, it won't sell in black and white.
Right. That's totally what it is.
But yeah, I can definitely see that. When it comes right down to it, part of the reason that Warren did Vampirella in black and white was, you know, Comics Code Authority didn't allow for red blood.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, they weren't under the code, but that's not the point either. I think that I can't remember the guy's name now.
Which guy?
One of the classic Vampirella artists of the day back in the 60s and the 70s. He's a feller with a head. Nestor Redondo, perhaps. I can definitely see overtones of that style here. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think that this, yeah, if you were to present this in black and white, I think it'd look good. I don't think you'd have to do a whole lot of work to it. And I'm wondering if maybe some of those textural questions of the fur and things might not actually be easier and better referenced in the
black
and white.
Mm-hmm. It'd be hard to do because even just, you know, flipping this to black and white would be so different. I mean, you just can't take this into Photoshop and turn off the color because, your backgrounds would have to be like white. You wouldn't use a transition from like a purple to a light blue
as
your background.
Tones.
You would just leave it white. And then you could maybe add a little bit more detail in the background. I don't know. I'm not a comic book artist or colorist, so I don't know. But, you know, I hate to say that Vampirella number 13 is a great jumping on point.
Yeah.
But I'm sure because 14 is going to start a new story.
Right.
I think you would be able to step into this and have no problem reading this book and enjoying it.
I don't know that jumping on point is what I would use here because this is wrapping up a storyline and kind of setting her off on her next adventure.
Right. What I'm saying is if this had to be your jumping on point.
Right. I think this works as a point to enter the story. And that's the thing that I really like is no matter what chapter it is, if you're selling that individual bit and piece of it, you kind of have an expectation. At least I have an expectation that that story work as an individual tale. And this one really does.
Oh yeah, definitely. Definitely. Yeah.
These days, that's not necessarily something you see in every 7-part story or 5-part story, or even, you know, Secret Wars.
Oh yeah.
Secret Wars. Sorry, I got something stuck in my throat. It's a secret.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah. 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 That's what it is.
Anything else about this book that, that you want to talk about?
The Nosferatu fangs are in the front and they look like little rabbit teeth.
That's how you know they're a Nosferatu and not a vampire.
Right. They're kind of adorable though, because they all have this little overbite and you're
because they're all rat. They're all rat. Teeth. So I'm not sure it's adorable like is the word I would use.
Adorable. It's like Watership Down. You remember Watership Down with
that was with rabbits, but that was not rats.
And the cute little rabbits, and they went and they had their adventures, and they certainly didn't die terribly because, you know, hey, you know. But yeah, it's an interesting approach through here, and there is one bit where Drago.
I see what you did.
Drago, her brother / former king, is staring into the camera.
Mm-hmm.
And it's 100% Count Orlok.
Oh, yeah. Well, look on when they're exiting her bedroom and they're walking down the hallway. That's the hallway from the movie, right?
Is it?
Yeah, that's how cool. That's how cool it is in the detail that they did in this piece.
That's
why I think maybe I'm biased a little bit because I'm very familiar with source material stuff, or maybe more familiar than the average person would be with source material. So people might come into this not knowing Nosferatu, or maybe not even seeing the, that remake from the, what was it? The '90s, 2000s, whatever it was, not the remake, but the, what the hell was that
re-release
movie called? No, it wasn't a re-release. It was the movie about the making of, and it had, God dang it. What the hell was it?
Had the face and the thing and the guy with the elbow on his arm.
Let me find it.
I'll sit here.
I'm trying to think of.
Vampirella.
Yeah, I'm trying to just think of it. It's not that big of a deal, but
I know what you're talking.
People are probably not. 2010. Let's see.
Vampirella. Shadow of the Vampire.
Shadow of the Vampire. Yes, that's it. 2000.
Yep.
John Malkovich. That's who's in it. William Dafoe.
Yes.
Dafoe. I don't know if people are familiar enough with the source material to get it.
I think that same way with
Phantom of the Opera. I mean, the Lon Chaney face is very recognizable in movie clips of historical, the history of movies. But to look at his face and go, oh, what the hell is Lon Chaney doing in this piece?
I think that those are there for additional texture for the people that get them. I don't think that they are necessary to appreciate the story. They're definitely cool. And I went through this and there were many times where I'm like, oh, it's that guy from that thing. But even without those, I think that you can enjoy this story. And the fact that is a really moody set anyway is more important than, oh, it looks like the set from Nosferatu. Or the points where the Drago keeps staring directly into the perspective of what would be a camera.
Right.
Looking right at the reader. Unnerving as hell. Beautifully done. And really kind of subtle because he's constantly looking at us. But you don't see that in comics so much. And it's off-putting and frightening. And it really helps add kind of a menace. It adds tonal shading and quality of scariness to the book. I still want to know what happens to her dress when she Vampirella's out.
No, it's a coat. She's wearing it like a
She's wearing
coat.
A dress.
No, it's a trench coat.
That's later. When she's walking down the hallway and she's got her dress on, and it's got like the thing, and then she gets punched into a wall, and then she's like, oh, you wish to fight Vampirella? Count me in, blah.
I think it probably got torn up when she got punched through the wall.
Could be.
That's what I'm going to go with.
That's what you're going to go with?
But okay, I'm also not going to let
the
books fail.
Who said anything about failing?
No, I'm just saying. I'm not going to.
So negative.
I'm betting the skirt came off. Because the top part is the same. The top part of the dress is the same.
Oh, it's different color, though. Is it just me, or does Vampirella talk with an accent like this, Signor Bray?
Must be you, because she never talks that way.
Oh, she always talks like this.
She's always like
she's
no,
middle
she's
European,
like,
pretty girl a lot.
No. She's always like...
Reporting back to...
Okay,
leader.
Duchess, count me in. I was going to hold back just to be nice, but you made me want to do it. That's what she sounds like.
Vampirella sounds like
that's,
Christopher Lloyd
that's exactly,
in your head?
Yes, exactly what Vampirella sounds like.
Bobby, I need to borrow cab 862.
Look,
it's your kids, Bobby.
Look, you murderesses, jackasses. This is what happens to those who dare challenge me. Have I made myself clear? Maybe a little Jackie Mason.
So it's Jackie Mason as the blue aardvark. That's what it is. Hey.
See, that's what Vampirella sounds like to me.
Knock yourselves out.
Yep. That's
where did that laptop come from?
Always has, always will.
Vampirella talks like Jackie Mason.
Cross between Christopher Lloyd and Jackie Mason. I don't want to get into anybody.
Steven's neuroses, my friends.
Not
right
neuroses.
There.
You asked. You were like, she sounds like some hottie totty, sexy European lady. And I'm like, no, she sounds like Jackie Mason. That's not a neuroses.
No, neuroses is the plural of neurosis.
No, that'd be the neuroses would be the plural of Nosferatu. If you have two.
Nosferatu, right. If there's an individualist
if
Nosferatu
you have two,
one.
Issues, then that would be Nosferatu.
Right. In this case, there's Nosferatu 20.
No, I think there's about 200 of these things running around.
Nosferatu 200.
There you go.
There you go.
All right, everybody, let's get out of here this week. Thank you so much for downloading and listening. Thank you to everyone who is a VIP. No, seriously, you guys rock. You are making sure that this show comes out week after week after week.
after
you're ensuring that we have time to record it in our busy schedules, you are our cool VIPs. And we want more of you to become VIPs, because I know not 100% of you out there listening are VIPs right now, and I would like you to consider it. I think about it. Even if you sign up for a silver membership, that's $60 for the year.
Yeah, that's less than I spend on lunch.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You know, you could go out and buy, for a family of four, you could go out to Pizza Hut for one night, or you could have a year's worth of entertainment.
Yeah, we went to the local barbecue place on Saturday, three adults in the widget, $70.
Yeah, and don't get me started on sushi costs for two people, because that gets astronomical very quickly.
Hey, I apologize
but you
for
know,
ordering.
But,
the
you know, someone
shrimp.
Could somebody could just go out and get Gino's pizza or Red Baron pizza and not have to spend $60. But your $60 will ensure that this is here for the entire year.
And it's one of those things where, obviously, if you can't, we're not trying to twist your arm.
No.
If you can, we want you to be a part of the major spoilers experience.
If you think
$60. You get extra stuff.
Oh, yeah. Silver and gold members, you get extra stuff, definitely.
Yeah, baby.
All right, everybody. Go over to members.majorspoilers.com. Check it out. Sign up today. We love you, and we love you all. And we'll be back next week to read comics, because that's what you're going to do, and that's what we're going to do, and that's what the person sitting next to you is going to do.
That's what we're all going to do on the bus.
Or in the car, or a plane, or on a train, or on a bicycle, wherever it may be.
Would you, could you, with a goat?
No, I would not.
This podcast is copyright 2015 by Major Spoilers Entertainment, LLC.
You love podcasts. The stories, the laughs, the unexpected turns. But when this episode ends, the silence starts. Not anymore. Audiobooks.com turns that silence into your next great adventure. With over 450,000 titles, from bestsellers to hidden gems, your love for listening just found its new best friend. And because you already know the joy of audio, we're giving you three free audiobooks to start your journey. Imagine your favorite podcast, now with unlimited episodes. That's audiobooks.com. Keep the story going. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. Because for podcast lovers like you, the end of an episode is just the beginning. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.